America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their six pools on three different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy daybeds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Postseason baseball is here, and it is the absolute best time of the year. I'm Rob Bradford of Baseballs and Boring, and we're going to have you covered every step of the way with instant reactions from players and coaches and managers and fans and reporters and everybody else who is immersed in this awesomeness and all the craziness that comes with October baseball. So follow Baseballs and Boring in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
It's the Hoffman Show. We're on the Team 980, always live as well on the free Odyssey app. Tuesday, 6 o'clock, the one day of the week we do not have a pick six, as it's the players and coaches off day. The coaches still work, but there's no press availability. So there's no pick six in terms of quotes and storylines. There's no review or preview of a game. So we take the opportunity, the hole in our show, in our rundown, Anthony, to rank every team in the NFL. That's just what we do. It's like, hey, what could we do with that time? I know what we could do. We could rank every NFL football team, and specifically, we could put them in four categories. Thoughts? Feelings? Emotions?
Are you ready?
I'm always ready.
I think this is going to be an interesting week, to say the least.
I think that is also very, very, very... very correct. Considering, Anthony, we have already been asking the question today, are the Commanders contenders? Well, let's get to answering. The thing is, though, we don't just say contenders. We say prime contenders. Are they prime contenders? As a reminder, and I feel like we have laid out the categories for, you know, consistently, but we do have like strict definitions in an effort to not just go on vibes here with our tier rankings. One, we don't believe in power rankings because it's too hard to just put team over team. Instead, it's what neighborhood you live in. Prime contenders is defined slash are defined as teams that we would not be surprised to see on Super Bowl Sunday. That is an extraordinarily high bar. But that is the threshold that we say, hey, Super Bowl Sunday, you're there, is your reaction, holy crap. And if the answer is no, then it's like, oh, no, I see it. Then they're a prime contender. The next group is like, would you be surprised to see them in the playoffs? And thus, they have a chance to win it all, because if you're in, you got a chance. It's the NFL. And we call that puncher's chance. They got a chance to throw a few haymakers, and let's see where they're at. Then the next tier is they're not doing anything. Even if they were to make the playoffs, they're not threatening. But likely going to be those last couple of teams out. We call them interesting, but not quite good enough because many of those teams are still interesting. And then the no chance in heck, which is, well, you got it. So, Anthony, with those very distinctive definitions, let us, as we always start with, hit the prime contenders. Starting off with the undefeated reigning champion, Kansas City Chiefs. Are the Chiefs still prime contenders? I think the answer is yes, because they're undefeated and they won again last night. They just keep winning football games. Travis Kelce's out there lateraling to people.
That play yesterday was very, very cool. But yes, the Chiefs are prime contenders.
Okay, excellent. Glad we could agree on that. The Commanders this weekend, their opponent, Baltimore Ravens, they darn near fell to 2-3. They are a bad snap potentially away. That's how close it was from being 2-3. Alas, they are not. They beat the Cincinnati Bengals. They did put up 41 points in the game. Are the Baltimore Ravens prime contenders?
They are prime contenders, yes.
I also agree with that. Yes. Defense, I think, is gettable. I think Washington could potentially put up some points this weekend. That's very exciting. However, giving up 41 points or giving up 30-plus points to the Cincinnati Bengals is a thing that I think a lot of teams are going to do this year. They're quite good. Ja'Marr Chase is quite a nightmare. So I do not have any qualms about keeping them up. The Detroit Lions had a bye, so they get to stay. The Minnesota Vikings beat the New York Jets, Robert Saleh's last game. Do we still see the undefeated Minnesota Vikings as contenders, Anthony? Prime contenders. I kind of think if they're undefeated, they get to stay.
Heck yes.
It's not an automatic rule. It's not automagic, as I like to say. But they did win.
Yep.
They showed what they can do. They put up some points. They made life hellish for Aaron Rodgers. I think they stay.
I feel like they just found another way to win. At first, it was the offense that was going. The defense the last couple of weeks. It's a scary team right there.
I agree. Okay. The Green Bay Packers. We'd have them asterisked, kind of protected over the last couple of weeks because we're waiting to see. First, Jordan Love was out. Now Jordan Love back, but can he pick it up a little bit once he knocks some of the rust off? I'm taking the protection of the asterisk away from the Green Bay Packers and just straight up asking, as they did beat the Rams, are they a prime contender?
Yes.
I agree. I do think if there was more juggernaut teams, they would kind of be on the outs here. They would be the best of the next group. But I don't think, the Chiefs are not crushing people. The Vikings are not crushing people necessarily. And Sam Darnold's their quarterbacks. They're only so scary that they are. And everyone else, Detroit's got some wacky games. A couple other teams that we expected to be good / have been good. We're about to talk about three teams in this category who lost. I think Green Bay has enough time to figure out some of the stuff defensively. And offensively, I think they're only going to get better.
Yeah, I think Green Bay, I mean, it's the NFL. I don't think any of the teams in our prime contenders are going to blow teams out every week. So I just think as long as you find a way to win the game, I think the Ravens, you talk about them being a bad sniper away. Hey, they can't control that. They found a way to win the game. So I think that's really all that matters. And I think, the Packers defense doesn't get the credit it deserves. We always talk about Jordan Love. We talk about the offense.
They've been up and down.
Yeah.
They've been up and down, but they played well against Matt Stafford. I know that LA team is undermanned, but they held them under 20 points. Oh. So kudos to them. Okay, three teams that we had up that lost. The Buffalo Bills had one they should have won. or should have at least gotten overtime. Sean McDermott, what are we doing, bro?
Yeah.
Three straight passes out of your own end zone. Let the other team keep all their timeouts in a situation where you're going to give them good field position. Every single yard matters. Hey, maybe let's limit where they can throw the football on the field instead of being able to throw it wherever they want, get 10 yards easy, and then get a 58-yard field goal.
Do you think he thought Josh Allen could get the Bills into field goal range, though?
Maybe. And, I guess if you want to be aggressive, but, you're in the shadow of your own end zone. Just play for overtime. And also, your quarterback at the time, I guess he finished 9 of 30, so it would have been 9 of 27 before three incompletions.
Yep.
Not good.
Nope.
And he had coming off a head injury in that game, or evaluated for a head injury, and he wasn't exactly crushing it when he got back. So, I don't want to say I'm long-term concerned about the Bills. They did lose to a Houston Texans team that we're going to have to talk about moving up here. Are the Bills still prime contenders?
Don't ask me, Craig.
You don't like... I think you're going to win the battle of the Bills this
week.
I think
just this
Bills,
week.
I think the Bills are going down.
Yeah.
All right.
I think they got to get back to running that ball, though, man.
The Seattle Seahawks lost to the New York Giants. I don't care what you think of the Seahawks. You're not allowed to stay in prime contenders if you lose to the Giants.
Yes, sir.
Those are just the rules. Do I actually think that Seattle could figure some things out? Yes. Is that an absolutely bizarro game where they both got outplayed, but probably should have at least been in overtime? You know, Geno gets them down. great crazy scramble. They're in field goal range, kick in to tie the football game, and instead they get it blocked and sent back the other way, and they lose 29-20 instead of being 23-all. Or yeah, whatever 23. They were. Yeah, 23-all going in overtime. So, wacky bit. Super wacky bit. In terms of the final, but like actually listening to some folks who watched that game and you know, listening to some more NFL recap pods over the weekend, catching up myself, like it seemed like the Giants really did thoroughly win that game. You can't lose thoroughly to the New York Giants and expect to be in prime contenders. Then there are the San Francisco 49ers, which I will admit, Anthony, are the absolute hardest team for me to quit. I believe they will figure it out. They also lost to the Arizona Cardinals,
yes,
who the Commanders beat 41-14 the weekend prior.
Yep.
They also shot themselves in the foot in the red zone a bunch. Are they going to do that a ton? I don't know. The one thing Kyle Shanahan I don't trust as much as other coaches in the league is clock management. There's some clock management stuff in this game and like fourth down decisions and goal, or really it was like, why are we kicking a 20-yard field goal? You're at the 2-yard line. Just try to go for it on fourth and goal at the 2. What's the worst that happens? You don't get it and you make the other team drive 98 yards. They probably are super conservative in their play calling and punt it to you, and then you have a short field. Like, what are we doing? So it's not a perfect team. Obviously, defensively, they need some stuff figured out. I mean, my first thought when Saleh got fired today was, hey, man, you want to go back to San Francisco and fix their defense? Apparently, he's not going to do that. He's just going to sit out and wait till the hiring cycle next year, where Kyle will absolutely offer him the defensive coordinator job. But I don't know, man. Like, I still think that this team is really good. I still think they're talented. I still think if they get McCaffrey back, but the current iteration of them right now, I mean, the last 3 weeks, the only impressive thing they did was beat the New England Patriots. Like, it's not great. They lost to the Rams, who were 1-4. It's their only win. And then they just lost to Arizona the week after Arizona got absolutely crushed by Washington.
Dang. So they have two divisional losses and they have a third game on Thursday.
Yeah. We're going to find out a lot more on Thursday.
Yeah, I mean, again, I feel like you got to find ways to win the games that are out in front of you. And they've had opportunities. They've had chances. I don't think they're a prime contender right now. I think we need to see a little bit more from the defense. We need to see consistency on the offensive side of the ball. Turning the ball over.
Can't do it.
You can't do that. So.
Can't do it. I agree. All right, San Francisco 49ers. You have a way to earn yourself back up into the prime contenders, but as of now, you are out. Okay, that means we are now into the puncher's chance teams, and will any team, including the Washington Commanders, be able to get up into prime contenders? That's next, but first, let's get an update on the latest in the world of women's sports presented by Wawa. Gotta have a Wawa.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sports book on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Postseason baseball is here, and it is the absolute best time of the year. I'm Rob Bradford of Baseballs and Boring, and we're going to have you covered every step of the way with instant reactions from players and coaches and managers and fans and reporters and everybody else who is immersed in this awesomeness and all the craziness that comes with October baseball. So follow Baseballs and Boring in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
It's the Hoffman Show. We're on the Team 980, always live as well on the free Odyssey app. Streaming live on YouTube at the Team 980, and we are continuing on our NFL power rankings, our tier rankings, and it is time, Anthony, to answer the question. Are the Washington Commanders prime contenders? The definition, again, of a prime contender is that you would not be surprised to see them on Super Bowl Sunday. Anthony, I'm putting your feet to the fire. Do we move the Commanders up?
Hold your horses, Craig.
Okay.
Hold your horses.
Okay.
Don't get too far out over your skis.
How many more ways are you going to just absolutely beat this analogy into the ground?
Okay. I think... I think we need to wait until Sunday, Craig.
I agree.
I think if we go out there and go toe-to-toe with the Ravens,
mm-hmm.
say we end up winning by three, say we end up losing by three.
Sure.
If it's a competitive game, I think we move ourselves up regardless of the outcome.
I agree. I still think that there are teams that are on a more trustworthy level mm-hmm. just because they are more tested. And we're going to talk about another one that I think you can say similar things about the Commanders about in a second in Houston. Like, do we move them up? Do we really, really trust them? But we can talk about them in a second. I think when you talk about Washington, with the caliber of teams they've beaten, there's still enough to say, hey, if they go with a rookie quarterback to the Super Bowl, that'd be a pretty big surprise. I think they perhaps have the biggest, like, they're the most Mike Tyson-y team in puncher's chance. They got the biggest haymaker they can throw with the way Jaden's playing right now and the explosiveness of this offense. But I still do think if we're talking November, December football, they're totally unproven. They have not beaten a team that is likely to make the playoffs yet. If they go out, if they beat the brakes off of Baltimore, then obviously. Frankly, if they go out and just compete with Baltimore and lose, I would still probably say, hey, they prove they can do it. They belong with the big boys. So this weekend has the potential.
Oh my God.
For the last weekend that we say, no, they can't. They're not allowed in prime contenders. They haven't met the age limit yet. They will be of age if they go out and contend with Baltimore this weekend. That's my take. That's what I'm sticking with, Anthony. And I think it's very easy for us to not move them around because you would seem to agree.
It is crazy how fast we've changed our tune, Craig. Week one, after week one, we were interesting, not good enough. Then, man, we've had an interesting 4 weeks. So
elevator going up.
Yes. I'm excited to see what we do Sunday. I hope we can move ourselves up to prime contenders.
I think we've already seen some stripping of the caution from the cautious optimism for a lot of folks.
Yeah.
Caution's going to the wind if they win this weekend.
Man, what?
All right. So, Houston Texans, do they go up? They beat Buffalo, find ways to win. Stroud looked sensational outside of some late mistakes. But I think overall, like, he's really shown he's super special. Nico Collins is a freaking baller. Their defense is starting to figure some things out. I mean, they absolutely destroyed Josh Allen this weekend. Again, mm-hmm. he went for 9 for 30 for like 138. So, Houston Texans, have they done enough against enough teams that we say they belong in the mix with Kansas City, Baltimore, Detroit, Minnesota, Green Bay?
Yeah, I think so. It's not pretty. They're doing just enough to win. But again, Craig, it's hard to get W's in the NFL. It is hard to stack W's in the NFL. And the Texans, they found a way to do it, even if it hasn't been the most pretty.
It has not. And they won a division game in their opener.
Yep.
They beat Chicago and held them under 20. They obviously got blown out by the Vikings, but the Vikings are great. And then you've got a division game against the Jags they cut out, and then this nice win over the Bills.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we're going to find out a lot more about this team in 2 weeks when they face the Packers. We'll find out something about this team, make sure they don't get a trap game this weekend against the Patriots. But I think at 4-1... with the fact that they made the playoffs last year, I think the Houston Texans get to go up.
Yeah, I would agree.
Okay, I think the other team that needs to be discussed, because we moved them down last week, and then they went on the road on Sunday night, and they won. Dallas Cowboys, they beat a Pittsburgh team that we said, hey, if you beat Dallas, you get to go up. Dallas, did they earn their way back up?
No.
I'm fine with that.
I think they have a little bit more to prove. It's just the manner in which they're doing it. Like, it is.
I will give them credit. They found a way to win. They gutted it out. Yeah. But they're making too many mistakes. I don't trust the defense yet. I will say, like, I mean, look, the Pittsburgh offense is not exactly world beaters, but doing that without some of the pieces that they're still missing due to injury and that are banged up and not playing at 100%, depending on which guy we're talking about, like, whew, that is impressive. If they can start to figure out this defense, like, Dallas might be the team that I think has the highest chance outside of Washington to move themselves back up with a dominant performance or even a good performance this weekend.
Yeah.
The other teams that won that were in puncher's chance, Atlanta beat Tampa, but that was a wacky game. And I defensively, like, I don't know what to make of Atlanta. They are the ultimate puncher's chance team.
Yeah.
Tampa, frankly, is still a super puncher's chance team. When they're on, they're on. When they're off, yikes, bro. And then Philly was on a bye. The Saints is the other team here that we need to talk about, but we're not talking about them going up. We're talking about them going down. Any other notes from that group of teams before we talk about New Orleans?
Atlanta is more so we just want to see them play some complimentary football. I think if it's a game where they play good offense, good defense, they might really blow the doors off somebody. So we just want to see that consistency, and we haven't seen it.
You got to put together a full game. They won, but like, can you score 35 and not give up 34?
Yeah.
Like, or, you know, it's just been a bunch of tight games, and they're certainly not prime. All right, interesting but not good enough teams. I think that I actually already moved them down in the document. New Orleans is joining the fray. They have come plummeting back down to earth. Obviously, they got beat by the best team in the league in Kansas City, but they also lost their starting quarterback in this game. New Orleans, down to interesting but not good enough.
Yeah, I would agree.
They're actually plummeting towards where we thought they would be, which is like their own category where they're neither interesting nor good enough. They're not a no-chance team. All right, the New York Jets, they fired their coach. I want to, on principle, put them in no chance in heck, but I can't do that with their defense. But I want to because, as an organization, they deserve it.
Yeah, they are a mess.
Speaking of a mess, can we move the Browns down to no chance? They suck, man.
Yeah, they are horrible.
Their defense is banged up. If their defense was less banged up, like if Myles Garrett was Myles Garrett-ing, I think I would. But like that, until they benched Watson, and even frankly, their problems go beyond that.
Mm-hmm.
Like they have no chance with how they're playing offense. Even if they were to go out and win this weekend, I don't care. That is one of the worst offenses I've ever watched, and I've covered the Commanders for 10 years.
Yeah. I don't like their scheme.
Hideous.
It's nasty.
I stopped watching the film at halftime because I knew we weren't going to talk about anything in depth from the second half. Like, I got the point of the game for the Take Command show. Logan didn't even watch the fourth quarter.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, he's like, I literally cannot watch. He's like, the Commander's defense is playing great, but like, I cannot watch any more of this Cleveland offense. It is painful.
Yeah.
Cleveland, you suck. You're down in no chance. All right. Jets, we're going to leave. The Bears. Have they earned their way back into puncher's chance?
I think one more week.
I kind of am with that.
And I'll move them up.
Because they have to do it against not the Panthers.
Yeah.
But Caleb, nice job. We see you. Defense, nice job. We see you. We're going to put a little asterisk by them so we don't forget. The Rams, 1-4. They're one of the best 1-4 football teams you'll see. They're in every game, but they cannot win.
Nope.
Yikes. The Chargers.
They were on a bye last week.
Yep, so they have to stay. Colts, your boys. What are we doing?
I'm not going to say no chance, but
yeah,
we're leaving them there.
Yeah. They're certainly interesting, though. Are they better with Flacco? Like, we'll find out. Bengals, if they could have won, they would be back in puncher's chance. The problem is they didn't win, despite the fact that their offense is awesome.
Yeah, they got to figure some stuff out on defense, man. They stink.
The Las Vegas Raiders. Are we sending them to the basement?
I think it's time.
I do too.
I think it's time. They don't know who their quarterback is. We still haven't figured out what they're going to do with Devontae.
If you're a non-functional organization or a dysfunctional organization, somewhere between the two, you go to no chance because you can't possibly win games that way.
Yeah.
All right. Tennessee.
I think we just keep them there.
I agree. Denver.
They belong
higher up on the interesting but not good enough list, but they're still not good enough.
Yeah, the offense and their defense. I think the defense got lucky a couple of times, but I think they're perfect where they are. They fit the description.
Yeah. Giants, congratulations, you won, but you're not good.
Yeah, I will leave them there, the bottom of it.
Arizona, congratulations, you won, you're not good.
Nope.
Carolina, you're still playing better. I'm not going to punish you for playing better. You're like one game away, though, from us going, yeah, no, your talent is so bad, you belong in the basement.
Yeah.
The New England Patriots.
stink. Drake May, I hope he...
They get to stay only because they're starting Drake May, so for at least 1 week, you get to be interesting.
Yeah.
The Jacksonville Jaguars, they got off the schneid. Do we move them out of no chance?
I think we do.
I also actually agree with that. They were basically there by default, but their offense is starting to click a little bit. Now can they put some games together? And then the Miami Dolphins.
They need to stay.
Yeah, I mean, they won, but they beat the Patriots. So,
yeah.
Sorry, Miami. Tyler Huntley, you're better than Skylar Thompson, but you're going to stay. You're going to stay in the basement.
Is there word out on Tua?
Week 8 is the soonest he can come back. So when they are IR'd him in week 4. So we're still a couple weeks from that. But hey, Tyler Huntley, a couple more weeks of practice. Maybe he can keep them afloat. I'm not writing them off for the season. And really, I feel, honestly, though, you know what? I'm moving Miami out. Okay. You want to know why? Because the Browns and the Raiders deserve each other. And at this point in the season, no chance is about, you know, kind of punishment for being a shameful organization. Yeah. And the Browns and the Raiders deserve each other in the basement. And the Dolphins, it's not their fault that Tua had the concussion thing.
Yeah.
So the Dolphins get to escape. Dolphins and Jags, congrats. You graduated from the basement. The Raiders and the Browns will probably throw feces on the wall in the room that you occupied. You at least behaved yourself while you were down there. No telling what the Browns and Raiders will do. All right. That is our NFL tier rankings. We'll do it again next week this time. And if the Commanders have been competitive, they will go in prime contenders. When we get back, final half hour, probably time for some nonsense, some catching up on the weekend. There's many stories that we've hinted at that we must tell. That's next on the Hoffman Show on the Team 980 and always live on the free Odyssey app. It's the Hoffman Show. We're on the Team 980. We're always live as well on the free Odyssey app. Anthony, about an hour ago, I went to go get my water, and then you asked me a question, and then I never got it. And now I wish I had it. Dang.
I hate that for you, man.
Yeah. Not the life I deserve?
It is not the life you deserve, Craig.
Are you really about to just... you?
Oh, my bad. I forgot we were live.
No, you didn't. You want to tell everybody how you fell on your face in your flag football game? Or you want to save that one for after we talk about the Thursday at noon wedding?
First of all, I didn't fall on my face. I fell on my shoulder. It was a shoulder roll.
How's that feeling?
It's all right. It could be better.
Rub some dirt on it, kid. So you missed the last two shows last week because you went to a wedding that was at noon on a Thursday in San Francisco, California.
Yes.
How was that wedding, sir? And then and what was your schedule? So you left Wednesday after the show?
So I left Wednesday after the show. My flight was at 10 p.m.
Oh, what time did you get in? Like 1 a.m.? I landed,
1 a.m.
Pacific time.
Yes.
So 4 a.m. Eastern.
Yes.
Gross.
And I went to sleep probably around like 2 because I had to wait for my bag, Uber, to the hotel.
I've taken those flights before. They suck.
Man, it was not fun. The thing with me, though, when I get on a flight, I can fall asleep anywhere. I can fall asleep standing up, Craig. But for some reason.
On this one, you couldn't.
I could not. I was fidgeting. Then there were babies on the plane crying.
Mm.
There's no worse feeling than being on a plane with crying babies.
It's always funny
both ways.
Sometimes, that's a lot of airtime with flying.
And one was right next to me. I'm like, come on.
Aunt, that's where you got to go Uncle Aunt mode. You got to be like, I got the baby. I'm a rock. You go chat, old school Chad Johnson, just rock the baby.
Oh, my gosh.
Hey, hello, ma'am. Can I borrow your baby? No, that's brutal. Because the poor baby, I always feel bad. Like, when I was younger, I used to, like, get mad at the parents. And now that I know anything about not being a 22-year-old idiot, it's like, they can't. The babies are having problems with their ear, like their inner ears. Like it's a pressure thing. Like then there's nothing you can do as a parent to stop it other than try to soothe them. And like the parents don't feel good about that. It's not like they're letting them cry. If you got a kid who's crawling all over the place, then like, yeah, the parents got to step in and do something. But like a legit baby crying, like there ain't a lot you can do outside of noise canceling headphones putting in. And it's always kind of this funny thing where you like, when I'm trying to sleep on a plane, I will often put on either a podcast, and there's like podcasts that I listen to regularly that I love, that I like listen to when I'm doing chores or when I am driving around or on runs. I put on those same podcasts that like keep me super engaged on the ground, in the air. I'm gone.
Yeah.
So sometimes it's that and the baby's in the background and then I just pass out. But sometimes I'll put on like, you know, lo-fi music or something like that. And like, you can hear the baby faintly in the background, but your whole body just relaxes from like the music.
Mm-hmm.
And you're just like, this is an odd juxtaposition.
Yeah.
Do you not have any, you not have your Beats?
So I have my Beats, but they aren't noise cancellation.
They're headphones.
No.
Not when's your birthday?
When is my birthday?
Yeah.
July 1st. It's a long time from now.
It is. It is. I don't know why I looked at the clock.
Yeah.
I looked at it like it was a calendar.
I might have to get some AirPods. I lost my AirPods, so I might have to get the noise-canceling AirPods.
AirPods are good. There's some Beats that are good. I mean, Bose has some good stuff. So, yeah, we got to get you some noise-canceling headphones.
I was like, good gracious.
If you don't have them by the holidays, then Uncle Craig and Aunt Rachel might have to get you a gift.
I'll let you know.
But I know you got some flights between now and then, so.
Yes.
There's that. So, yeah. So, how was the wedding once you got there after the screaming baby?
So, the wedding was actually, this was a very unique wedding.
I mean, it was noon on a Thursday. So, yeah.
Well, outside of the time and day of the week, it was at a city hall. It was very small. I want to say about like 40 or 50 of us.
That's so funny. You're like, oh, it's super small, 40 to 50. I'm like, my wedding was like 32. Well, but we also went to Scotland.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, yours, good gracious. I still can't get over that. But yeah, so we're in San Francisco at the city hall, and her dad, he, you know, blesses the ceremony, does the entire thing. We take pictures on the steps, and I look up, the architecture of the building is actually like pretty cool. Like, at first I didn't notice it, but we were sitting there for so long, like trying to wait for, you know, to take the photos and things of that nature. I had nothing else to do but, you know, look up. And then the reception was later that night. We had a cocktail hour at the hotel. But the wedding, this was one that, I don't know, I think unique is the best word to describe it, to be honest. Just because of how small and intimate it was. And then it was, you know, down at the city hall or court building.
Yeah,
in San Fran. So,
were you able to get like full wedding party aunt on, or because of the smaller, like the vibes, it was like a different party aunt?
Yeah, it was a little bit different. I got to reconnect with his family because, again, this is one of my friends from high school. Literally, my junior and senior year, I spent most of my days at his crib because I was a resident at prep, but I didn't like being there, so I would always go to his house. So his mom, his sisters. I basically had a chance to, you know, reconnect with his entire family. So I spent a lot of time chatting, talking. And then, you know, we did a couple of line dances upstairs, you know.
Okay. You got a little bit in.
A little some, but not too much.
You got a little workout in, if you will. And then you come back, and on Sunday, you play in your flag football game.
Yeah, I really had three flag football games, but I only played in two because I had to, you know, watch the Commanders game.
Occupational hazard.
Yes. Second play of the game, we run a fake screen. I'm wide open because they fell asleep for it. First of all, when you're in cover three, and I actually saw this in the Coach Jaguars game, you cannot be on the same line. If the slot corner and the outside corner are both on the same line, it is a recipe for disaster, especially if you're faking a screen, because outside corner might jump it, and now I'm right up the sideline. And that's precisely what happened.
It's not about even being that. It's like where you get in trouble with not being on the same level as in man to man, because then you run into each other.
Yeah.
In zone, it like actually is a nice disguise in some ways. But like you have to then make sure you hit your responsibilities. If you're the deep third player in cover three, you have to one, make sure that you have the deep third.
Yeah.
And two, you need to make sure you can get to a midpoint on the route so you don't get beat up the seam. Or your safety needs to make sure that they're gonna be, like, if you're pressed over to one side, like, you need to make sure you got safety help up your seam, and that, you know, the backside's maybe a little bit more open. Yeah. No, you posted the play on Instagram, and I'm not gonna lie, I did not realize it was a fake screen. You just kind of took off.
Yeah. So right before the play, I'm telling the wide receiver, I'm like, slide this way, slide this way. I got you. And the corners are like listening to this. So as soon as they say go, I run directly to the corner and then right up the seam. And it just works so perfectly. But I promise you, Craig, if you look at the play against the Jags against the Colts, it's literally a similar play. Dallas Flowers. I don't know what he was doing, but he did not get to his third.
Was it? This is the play you posted on Instagram, or it's?
Yes, it's
different play.
Oh no, it's the play I posted on Instagram.
Oh, you posted two plays. That's
oh,
why.
Oh yeah. Oh, the first one is the
first
slip
one's
screen.
The slip screen. Yeah.
And
now,
then the second one.
This one looks like they're in man. I don't think they're. Oh no, they did bail into cover three, and yeah. Just got lost with his eye discipline.
Yep.
The second one's a nice little like slant.
It was a slant seam.
Yeah.
We ran that just because I saw the safety so far over. I'm like, the safety's not going to be able to get down this seam. And the corner so close, me, Craig, in flag football, I feel like I'm not gonna say I'm the fastest person on the field, but most of the time, I am one of the faster people. So down the seam and the corner's playing that close to the line, I feel like I can beat him in a foot race.
Yeah,
so
I scored on the first one. The second one is where
Yeah.
What happened? You blow a tire here? You just lose your balance.
Nah, so the ball's
a little bit out, and you didn't catch it cleanly.
Yeah, I didn't catch it cleanly, and the ball was a little far. It was on my right shoulder as opposed to, you know, directly in front of me, and my momentum took me to the ground.
Let me ask you a question. What would Santana Moss have told you?
Keep your balance.
Players make plays.
Yeah. Ah, you don't think I made the play?
I mean, you made a play. You did. You left a little bit out there. It's all right. Did you guys score on the drive?
We did. We scored on fourth down.
Oh,
we were on the 2 yard line, and it took us four plays to score.
Dang.
Yeah.
Well, hey, you and Terry, 66 yarder. Although that one, he was kind of had to. I won't say fully lay out for, but
yeah,
yeah. All right. Well, I'm glad you had a fun weekend. How and your shoulder? Like, were we scared that we did something bad to it, or is it just a little sore?
Oh no, it's just a little sore. Okay. It's a little sore. I can do all of this, all the motion. It's a little sore though.
Look like you just tried to bless someone. anyway, it's the Hoffman Show. We're on the team. I had a much less exciting weekend. What did I do on Saturday? I ran a little bit. Trying to get back on the after you have to take a couple weeks off from running in the middle of marathon and half marathon training. Luckily, mine's the half. Wifey's got to get back on the track for the full. But did a little running. What else we do on Saturday?
How many miles did you run?
Oh, we hung out with our friends on Saturday because we have friends because we're adult humans that have social lives. We ran, I think six. We run eight.
Doing, man, 6-8 miles. I would have passed out.
I'll tell you what was way harder. It was yesterday. I did like a couple miles fast, faster, not fast. I don't even want to say the pace out loud. Cause some people will be like, well, that is really fast. And anyone that's actually fast would be like, that is horrendous that is your fast. I'll tell you in the break.
All right.
But I did 2 miles and, I was like, dang, this hurts. That hurt a lot. But yeah, ran, hung out with some friends, stayed on the couch. And then Sunday was game day. I did not fall on my shoulder.
Lucky you then, Greg.
That's good. All right. When we get back, predictions for a playoff game tonight, plus real things real people said in real microphones. Wrap it up here on the Hoffman Show, Final Five. Great show today. Good stuff from Tischler earlier. You'll hear from him during real things. We will also, tomorrow on the show, crossover live. We've never done this before. Very excited to do it. Jason Lock and Fora and the afternoon show at 105.7. In Baltimore, our sister station up there. We're going to talk about the Commanders-Ravens game. So very much looking forward to that. Also tomorrow, ESPN's Ben Solak. So we're pretty loaded up tomorrow. Very excited to talk to Ben. And the first question I'm going to ask him, Anthony, is if I told you in, let's call it June. If I told you in June that you were going to be really excited to talk about the Commanders on a Washington, D.C. sports radio show in October, what kind of drugs would you have thought I was on?
I wouldn't even know what...
I'm curious what Ben says to that. I feel like he's the kind of guy that would have an answer. Not because I think Ben's on drugs. I just think he's very witty.
No, that's actually hilarious.
Because I think he was definitely someone who thought that they were going to stink.
What did Tony think? What was Tony's guess on the Commander season this year?
I think Tony was optimistic. Like Tony, so Tony is my partner in crime on some of the YouTube stream shows that I do. Tony Squares. He does like all kinds of content, betting content, gambling content. But he helps me out on some of the YouTube stuff as well, and hosting shows and things there. And so he's way more locked into the Commanders than any Packers fan from New England living in LA should be. So I think he was a little more optimistic. But like Solak studies tape and is like he's deep in the weeds.
Yeah.
I don't think he was expecting this.
Nah.
So we'll get Solak's apology tomorrow.
Okay.
I'm excited for it.
Exciting.
What else we got tomorrow? It's Wednesday.
We have Jason.
Jason, yeah. We have DQ and Jaden talking.
Yep. We have competition Wednesday.
Oh yeah.
How do you think you did?
I think I did okay. I definitely didn't do as bad as last week, but I am definitely nervous. I need to find the sheet of paper that I wrote down my picks on.
Yeah. I don't know how I did.
I don't either. I have no idea how.
Oh, I do know. I had the Commanders, though. -3, baby.
You did. I know I had Dallas. So I know I have at least one.
How much did Dallas win by?
I think they were dogs, so it doesn't matter.
Oh, you took Dallas to actually win. Oh, all right. Never mind.
Yeah, but they were underdogs and they won outright. So
dang,
I can't remember who else I took. I just remember like blacking out because it was like a nightmare. Also, I guess I should make sure I wear a shirt that I can do push-ups in just in case.
Yep, don't come in here in a collar shirt.
Last week t-shirt worked just fine. I was sore until like Saturday, legitimately though.
Oh yeah.
So there's that. All right, let's wrap up the show because we had a real things, real people said in real microphones moment happen during our show today.
Real things.
We're not going to be sold this year.
Real people.
5-11. Not very good.
Said into real microphones.
You know, the culture is actually damn good.
All right. So during his appearance on Tischler Tuesday, Mitch Tischler, I asked him about... I asked him about if he would do the follow-up journalism to figure out what happened between Daron Payne and John Allen when they played rock, paper, scissors on the field, because there's conflicting reports and I care about this way more than I should. And Mitchell reminded me in answering his question that he does not call it rock, paper, scissors.
For me this week is I have always, like a kid, called it rock, scissors, paper.
I did notice that.
My friends give me a hard time about it all the time, that I'm wrong, and I'm just indignant about it, saying that, you know, you're wrong, I'm right. I didn't know that there was such a fervent following of Rock, Scissors, Paper on Twitter, and that those people would be so enthusiastic to tell me how wrong I am about what I call the game.
I was going to say, Mitch, has anybody told you that you're right?
Yeah, me. Right between my ears, every single time I say it, it says I'm right.
Do you know the origin of how you began to say it differently than everyone else?
I don't know. I'm actually having dinner with my parents a little bit later tonight, and okay. I want to find out whether it's just like a Tischler thing or whether I just decided that my name was better than the name that is widely accepted elsewhere.
What do you think, Anthony?
To this day, that's hilarious. Rock, scissors, paper.
I don't.
Can't make it up.
That's weirder than people who don't do the shoot at the end. That's our show. If you want the full interview with Mitch, including very good football talk, check the podcast. And we'll see everybody tomorrow.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their six pools on three different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy daybeds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Postseason baseball is here, and it is the absolute best time of the year. I'm Rob Bradford of Baseballs and Boring, and we're going to have you covered every step of the way with instant reactions from players and coaches and managers and fans and reporters and everybody else who is immersed in this awesomeness and all the craziness that comes with October baseball. So follow Baseballs and Boring in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.